talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm happy that young girls who watch a lot of TV can tell what is great talent. They are the people in charge of deciding who will be the next person to lead us into the future.
I think maybe what the people who like me like about me is the fact that I really believe in myself and what I do, obviously.
You know what? Women shouldn't be gross.
You know what? I think men are better than women. They provide for us, and we must obey them because they are our masters.
All right.
And now,
we have a great show for you tonight. Who Mistake is here? No?
Our feature presentation.
Zach Galifianakis. He's the best.
No? Who is it? Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning.
I'm going to say a sentence that's going to make Kevin inexplicably happy, and that is that I got a ticket yesterday.
What?
Yes, Grandma got a ticket.
What were
First
you doing?
Of all, who's grandma? Second of all, why? I never have understood why you are happy when other people get a ticket.
Oh,
I've never understood that. What's the deal? Because I feel terrible if somebody comes in and says they got a ticket. I'm like, oh, that super sucks for you.
I don't know. I think it's just my friends, and I think it's because I have more than they do already.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They'll never beat you.
Right. And that's something I wish someone would do.
But you applaud them trying.
I do. I applaud them. I don't know. I applaud the effort. But you do. I think it's funny to me that I get a ticket every once in a while, but you,
who drives like
never
a
get a
grandmother.
But never gets a ticket. I got that from Lightning.
Say things like that?
I got that from Lightning.
Because
he said he drove with you, and he's like, he drives like an old lady.
In other words, Lightning, who may have driven with me one time in my life, in his impression that day now lasts forever.
Well, that's how I work, yes.
I see. Okay. You don't worry about the facts.
And right. It was probably 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, that's right.
At least. Yeah. Well, here's why I wanted to bring this up, so I can ask you guys a series of questions that you won't know the answer to, because
that makes
great radio. I went out to lunch yesterday, had a radio geek lunch, so I parked down there by the beautiful Pike Place Market in Seattle, got parking on the street, very happy about that, came out, had a ticket on my car, and I thought, well, I know I'm in time for the meter, I know that's not what it is, and it was because I did not have my registration tag on my license plate.
Right.
Okay. That was what I got a ticket for. $124 ticket.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the reason I bring it up is because I my registration is current. It is paid. I got the sticker. It ran out at the end of December. And when I went to put it on, there was something wrong with it. Like it wasn't sticky on the back like it's supposed to be. So it would not adhere to the license plate.
Right.
And I thought, well, I don't know how to fix that. It was raining that day. Hard to believe. I couldn't tape it. I didn't have glue. So I basically just put it back in the envelope and put it in my glove compartment. So I thought, hey, if I get pulled over, at least I can show that my registration is current.
That was your plan for another year? For the whole year?
No, at some point I feel like I'm going to buy some Gorilla Glue or something and try to makeshift put it back out on the license plate. For whatever reason, I wasn't expecting to get one when I wasn't in the car. I thought that would be the type of thing I'd get pulled over for, would get a ticket while I was in the car. I wasn't expecting it for me to be gone, rather, and
right.
Have the ticket show up. So my question to you is, do you think this is it the type of ticket you think you can fight? And if I show that my registration was current, in fact, which is what they're really trying to do, is make sure that your registration is current, will they not charge me for not having the sticker on, or is the offense not having the sticker on? You see what I'm saying?
I think
is the registration what's happening here, or the sticker being shown? What's happening here?
Well, I think the sticker being shown is what happens, but I think the spirit of the law is to make sure that you've got registration that's current.
Right.
But when they need money, when states need money, they will write a ticket for anything. And I think,
yeah, they're shaking the bushes, just looking for anything they can get you for. And the other question that I had on this topic, and I'd love it if I could hear from a police officer, somebody could email me, because I'm sure the states are fairly consistent on this, is
can I answer this question before you ask?
Yes.
Jail.
All right, back to you.
I just assumed that when they're – anytime the police have somebody in their crosshairs, it seems like they always run the tag to find out if it's stolen or to find out if they're a warrant out for that person. You know what I mean? That just seems like standard operating procedure. If that's the case, wouldn't they have run my tags and saw that my registration wasn't expired?
But wasn't it probably just a parking meter person? One of those
See, I didn't see it.
They're the
worst.
The parking meter people are the worst.
Yeah, and, but they don't have the ability to do that generally.
They don't have access to the database is what you're saying.
I don't think so.
So am I going to jail? Is this death penalty time?
Jail.
License taken away? What?
Yeah.
I think it'd be good if you went to jail. I mean, I think it would teach you a thing or two. About
can we talk to Eric?
Can we talk to
Eric real quick? Because he actually had a ticket like this and he had a way to handle it. Maybe he can help me out here. And hopefully this will be information that can help others too, because I'm sure there are lots of people who procrastinate getting that sticker on the back of their car. You know what I mean? Like you have
it, of course,
you don't put it on.
Yeah,
Eric.
Hey,
what happened to you?
I was parking downtown LA, didn't have my registration sticker on, and got the ticket. All you have to do is make a photocopy of it, or at least in L.A., make a photocopy of it, and there's usually like a $10 processing fee, and just mail it in to fight it.
Oh, I see. So that way you can prove that at the time you were registered and up to date.
Now, I thought about that, but the little envelope that they include for you to mail it back is basically a Treasury Department. It's basically where you mail money to. That's what they want, is they want the check. They don't. Those people don't have anything to do with determining the law.
But I think on the ticket there's information on where to send it.
Right. On the ticket there was information on where to send it if you had registration. But
I
know some people, you might have to call and find out that information.
Well, a strongly worded letter is on the way, I'm telling you that. This will not stand.
That'll do it.
Okay. All right, guys, have a good day.
Thank you very much, Eric. Appreciate that. All right. Because $124. Granted, I'm a dumbass but it wasn't really my fault that the sticker wouldn't stick either. So I'm just in a, I'm in a tough spot here, guys.
Yeah.
Jail.
I don't like it. Thank you, Eric.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You, to put it kindly, are an ignorant f**ktard.
That's not kindly. I'd like to suggest that's not kind. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very excited about that. We talk to him every Thursday. He never runs out of answers, that guy.
No, he knows everything.
It's ridiculous. We are going to ask you exactly how it works when God favors one team over another in football, for example.
God is invested, man. Look, you don't get to the Super Bowl unless God's on your side.
No, I never thought of that. That's an excellent point.
God probably already knows who's going to win on Sunday.
I'd like to thank God for the victory.
Yeah, he's probably already decided.
Now, we come from different angles on this. Bean doesn't believe in God. I do believe in God, but I don't believe God's picking a winner for the Super Bowl. I don't think just because
it's huge day here. But, you don't think God cares?
But why not, Kevin? Why don't you believe that?
I just don't. I don't believe
Do you think God makes any moves to affect behavior on earth, or do you think he just sits back and watches it all unfold? He does not get involved in any decisions.
I think it's a spectator sport. I think he just sits there with his arms crossed and goes, nice. That was dumb.
We'll talk about this later, but if you believe in God and the version that's in the Bible, then you believe very much that God gets involved and does things like send floods and smite cities and things like that.
I think there was a time when that happened, but it's not necessarily today, and it's certainly not the Super Bowl.
But if you pray for stuff,
or
someone is sick and you're praying for him, then isn't that believing that God might do something?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert. This might surprise you.
I don't have the answer either.
This might surprise you. Not a theologian.
This is why this is such an awesome topic, because we're all guessing.
Yeah.
No one's an expert on this.
We have the final pair of tickets for the Sound City movie premiere and concert, which is tonight. So we got that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Make sure you're listening for that. We have Andrew Siciliano we're going to talk to from New Orleans about the Super Bowl.
Fantastic.
And a little fellow by the name of Dave Gahan.
Wow.
Really?
Lead singer of Depeche Mode for, what did you say, 32 years?
32 years that band's been together, yeah.
That's insane.
Actually, that's when their first album came out. I'm sure they were together sometime before that even happened. So, yeah, that's quite a career with the same group of guys.
Dave Gahan, this morning at 7 o'clock. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
We're about a half hour, maybe a little less, away from your chance to win the last pair of tickets to see Dave Grohl's Sound City documentary movie tonight and then the All-Star Concert afterwards. You ever think we'd be giving away tickets to go see Rick Springfield sing?
No. I prayed and hoped for many years, but I never thought you'd actually have a
cojones to do it. No.
I prayed
along
not.
Along with Stevie Nicks and John Fogerty and Brad Wilk, of course, from Rage Against the Machine and all the Foo Fighters. It's going to be a great, great show tonight, so we'll give you a chance to win those in just a few minutes. Right now, Rob's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday at 5:54.
I'll be there tonight going, Rick! Rick!
And even Rick will go,
that's how you'll know me.
Why is someone shouting my name?
I'll drive you home! We don't get another DUI!
Aren't you so sad that Eddie Money isn't on the bill?
Oh, well, that would be perfect.
He'd be there.
How come Grohl didn't ask Asia how they feel about Sound City? How come they're not
there?
Did
they record there?
I don't know.
Because they blow.
Oh. All right. I'm out.
Hey, come back.
All right. I'll back.
We need a little showbiz.
Yes, you do. How about Linda Lohr? I've been in court yesterday in front of her old friend, Judge Stephanie Sautner. It's so great. This is like, they have like a great duo act, these two. It's
they
like,
do.
Yeah. It's like they should take this on the road. Lindsay, of course, came in last minute yesterday morning to appear in court because her new lawyer, Mark Heller, filed some paperwork saying Lindsay can't come. She's under doctor's orders. She can't fly. She has a severe respiratory infection, Your Honor, so please excuse her. And then that day, photos of her shopping, walking along Fifth Avenue, just smoking a carton of cigarettes were published, and the court said, not so much. Have her, why don't you have her come on by? Jail. So Lindsay did show up, and she got in front of the judge, and the first thing the judge said was, oh, I'm glad to see you're feeling better.
Zing! That judge truly hates her.
She truly does. As for Lindsay's new attorney, Mark Heller, he walked into the courtroom with a rabbit's foot hanging from his briefcase for luck.
Oh, oh no.
That's what you want in an attorney, the guy who's rubbing the rabbit's foot.
Really?
Jeez, I hope you don't go to jail. I hope we get lucky.
Wow.
That's like something out of Hooterville or something, isn't it? When the guy just walks in there and he's just, Mr. Douglas, I'm going to try to do the best I can for you. Lindsay's court, by the way, her court date has been set for March 18th. This begins the trial for those charges against her from that accident she had last June. So there will be more fun ahead of us in the next couple months with Lindsay.
Did you see any of the photos on TMZ or elsewhere of her being in town yesterday?
No. Yeah.
They need to start calling her Puffy since Diddy's not using that anymore. Her face. What's going on with her face?
No, she's loaded. She's obviously on the other end of a bender.
Allegedly.
She really does look like
I've been drunk enough and I've been hungover enough to know what bloat from booze looks like.
I agree. Yeah.
It's definitely
stop alleging it into me, my ass.
It's allegedly.
Good news is, too, that Lindsay and her hellish mother, Dina, is that alleged, too?
No, that's fact. That's science.
We're turned away from two hotels before they finally found a place to stay in Los Angeles. One, because Lindsay had been blackballed from Shutters in Santa Monica because of damage he caused to a room during a previous stay. Two, the second one, there was no room at the inn. They were all booked up.
Sure.
And so the third one, they finally settled in at the Beverly Hills Hilton.
Tell her we don't have rooms.
So, they got in early this morning after a red-eye flight just driving around looking for a place to stay. And then Lindsay finally got her ass to court. But
Yeah! That's hot!
Uh-huh. Yeah! Kevin, this is just for you.
All right.
Set your DirecTV box to MTV, and then just throw away the remote.
Okay.
Because you're not going to want to miss their brand new series, Kesha, My Crazy Beautiful Life. Yes, the reality show starring Kesha. Follow Kesha as she navigates her professional and personal life while recording a new album and traveling the globe. It's Kesha, My Crazy Beautiful Life.
No.
Come on. Don't you want to see all about Kesha?
No.
And how she lives her life?
She is wild. I'll tell you that. She
parties. She brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels.
She does. It's crazy.
She has sex with guys who look like Mick Jagger. It's fact.
That's not going to be good.
That's not going to be good, no. You know what will be good, though? Bet on Your Baby. The new game show, Bet on Your Baby.
Bet on Your Baby?
Yeah.
If you lose, you have to give up your baby?
That's right, Kevin. These are the highest stakes on television. Finally, a reality show that raises the stakes. ABC has announced their new 8-episode primetime game show, Bet on Your Baby.
What does that mean?
5 families who have toddlers between the ages of 2 and 3.5 will try to correctly predict their offspring's next move in a series of baby challenges.
That's bullshit.
At the end of the show, five families will return to play the college round for a chance to win $50,000 towards a college education for their child.
That is way too silly.
The baby that comes in last place will be given a stripper pole and a syringe full of heroin.
That's quite a prize.
Bet on your baby.
Yeah.
Can you make your baby do things? Oh, yeah. This, you know what? If there's a God, and he does have any say-so here on the planet, he should come down here right now and just kick our asses.
It's time to smite, isn't it?
It's time to smite. America, what happened to you? Now we're putting our babies on television and making them do tricks, and then we're betting on them. We're betting on babies!
When you say it that way, it makes it sound like it's not a cool show.
We're betting on babies!
We really are.
We're betting on babies. You're trying to make money by betting on your baby.
That's where happening. We're at. That's America 2013.
The Romans, the ancient Romans would go, ooh, really? You're betting on babies?
USA! USA! USA!
I mean, sure, we throw these guys in with lions, and we watch them fight lions. It's disgusting. We have gladiators. We're horrible, blood sport thirsty, just horrible people. But you guys are betting on babies?
Yeah. But this seems like it's a new low.
Or a new high. No, you're right. It's low.
It's low, yeah.
And our thoughts, wishes, prayers, and get well soon thoughts go to legend Ron Jeremy. He is facing some severe health problems right now. He is at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. He went in complaining of chest pains, and doctors discovered he had an aneurysm right near his heart. He has gone through two surgeries yesterday.
Wow.
And apparently they say he is resting comfortably, but still in critical condition. So we wish him all the best. Just 59 years old. He looks like he takes care of himself, though. So.
Sure does.
I'm surprised that this happened.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
I would like Ron to get well just so that he can go out in the saddle. You know, that's the report I want to get.
Yeah.
Porn legend Ron Jeremy died on a set of a porn movie today.
Yep.
He should go out doing what he loved, you know?
Sure.
He should come and go. That's what I'm thinking. That's how his life should be.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Walter from Arrested Development and Archer, of course. They're 72 years old today. She's super talented. John Lydon. Does anyone recognize that name? John Lydon?
Sure.
No.
How about if I say
Sex Pistols?
Johnny Rotten? That's right, from the Sex Pistols. 57 years old today. Minnie Driver, very talented actress, is 43. Anthony LaPaglia turns 54. Portia de Rossi is 40 years old today. Paul Scheer, comedian and actor from The League and other places, 37 years old today. Kerry Washington, you saw her in Django Unchained recently. She's 36. Justin Timberlake's 32. And Marcus Mumford himself from Mumford & Sons, is 26 years old. Happy birthday to you, Marcus. I hope you have a tasty cake. With some candles, blow out your candles. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I love Dave Grohl so much, but what I really want to do, Kevin, is go to a movie with him and then also go see him play a concert. Can you hook that up for me, please?
Nope.
I think you can. I think Sound City, the movie and the superstar concert is tonight. It's time to play The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2.
It's The Hardest Game in the World, 2. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Wow, this is a new tough Mr. Announcer Man. How is this game played? You made some reference to words and then music. I'm not sure I know what we're doing.
Well, the original Hardest Game in the World, we'd play the titles of songs backwards.
Right.
Now we're playing the songs backwards.
Yeah! We're actually taking music from the band Foo Fighters. All these are Foo Fighters songs, correct?
Yeah.
And we're reversing. I'm sorry, we're reversing it.
Yeah.
Why are you talking like this, Mr. Announcer Man? What's going on?
Because this game is harder.
It is harder. Okay.
And so am I.
All right. Well, we don't need to hear those kinds of details. Who's our first contestant this morning?
First up is Edder.
Edder
works in archives.
Edder, who works in archives. What's happening with all of that? Is that code? Hello, Edder?
It's really just me working with a bunch of paperwork.
Okay.
It's kind of boring.
Okay.
All right. His name is really Edder?
It is really Edder?
Yeah, it's Vedder, like Vedder, Eddie Vedder. It's a really weird name. I don't really, I use that a lot. A lot of people don't know how to pronounce it or spell it.
You should.
Are you the only Edder in the world, or is that a name that has existed before you?
No, you know what? It's funny. I run into people that have actually known someone that's named Edder.
Tell us about your family tree.
Where that comes from.
I see that we're running out of time. Really? All right. You heard Mr. Announcer Man explain the game. We're going to play a part of a Foo Fighters song backwards. We can only play it once. So listen closely and get the title right, and then you're going to the thing tonight. Good luck.
All right, Edder, what's the name of that song?
Wow, I had a really hard time hearing that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Going to have to go with the Foo Fighters song.
Jeez.
Name one, please.
Any Foo Fighters.
I'm going to say Long Road to Ruin.
Sorry, it was all my life. Back to the archives for you, Edder.
Thank you, Edder. Appreciate the call. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Jose. He's in shipping and receiving.
Hey, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Nice. Nice delivery. All right, you ready for your Foo Fighters song backwards?
Yes.
Here you go. Good luck. Name that song.
Monkey Wrench?
Wow. Wow, is that a surprise?
Yeah. Nice well job, done. Jose!
Well done.
You got to have tickets. It's tonight.
Great time tonight. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Danny. He doesn't have a job.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Certainly he's available tonight then, huh?
He needs free tickets.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for your song?
Sure.
Mr. Announcement, is this easy or hard? I forget.
It's easy.
All right. All right. What song is that?
My Hero?
Nah. Sorry, it's Everlong.
Hey!
All right, we've one down. We've got two pairs of tickets left to go. Who's our next contestant, Mr. Announcer?
Next up is Rick. He's a consultant.
So also unemployed. Hi, Rick.
Exactly.
All right, you ready for your Foo Fighters song?
I hope so.
Listen closely.
That's not annoying.
What song is that?
Well, it's a bunch of static, but I'm going to say The Pretender.
Mm. Sorry, that's Rope.
All right, I think we only have time maybe for one more here, guys. Who's our next contestant?
Next up is Daniel. He's an instructor. He just instructs you on things. Hey, you're doing that wrong.
This is the most vague group of jobs we've ever had.
It kind of is.
Instructor. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, how's it going?
What do you instruct, Daniel?
What do you want me to instruct?
All right, then.
Okay, good enough. Exactly what we thought.
Here's your Foo Fighters song. Good luck.
This game is hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's the hardest game in the world, too.
Wow.
Foo Fighters song. If you don't know, here's what I would do.
On that one.
Yeah, I would just guess a Foo Fighters song that you haven't heard yet.
Is that White Limo?
Sorry. It sounds like easier. Times like these.
If only we were using the hits.
Well, apparently we are out of time for the game. We still have two pairs of tickets left. Mr. Announcer Man, what
that
caller
means
numbers?
I'm going tonight with
nope.
Mrs. Announcer Man.
That means nothing of the sort.
What caller numbers would you like for us to give those tickets away to just the next random person that gets in?
What?
Pick two numbers.
I said, what caller numbers would you like?
Caller number 11 and caller number 23.
11 and 23.
Mr. Announcer Man, this game was really hard today, but thanks for stopping by.
It's too hard. We got to stop doing this.
That was the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Coming next summer, the hardest game in the world, 3D.
About 20 minutes from right now, Mr. Dave Gahan jumps on the phone. I think he's in New York where he lives, but he'll be talking all about Depeche Mode, Hitting the Road, talking about their new album coming out, and once again, we'll play their latest song, world premiered on the Kevin and Bean Show just yesterday, called Heaven. So Depeche Mode fans, just after 7 o'clock this morning, we got you covered here today.
You still watching the Glee?
No.
Gave up. Bean gave up?
Yeah.
Maybe the very beginning of the second season, it just started to suck. And I've been off ever since.
For me, it was the after Super Bowl Michael Jackson one.
You hung in that long.
That was terrible.
I didn't go that long.
That was bad for any show, let alone that show. But they have had
I think it's still popular, though. I mean, I think there are still a lot of people still watching it, though.
They've had a lot of guest stars. Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kate Hudson, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Right.
So they were asking some of the actors. Matthew Morrison, who plays the teacher, Will Schuster, was asked who he would like to guest star on the show, and he said that he has always admired Harrison Ford. Ever since Indiana Jones, he thought Harrison Ford is just somebody to admire, and he would love to get him on Glee.
Look, you can like Harrison Ford. You can say Star Wars and Indiana Jones and a lot of other movies that he's done are great, but that doesn't mean he's right for Glee, does it?
Well, we've got Harrison on the line if you want to talk to him about it and see if he's interested.
I didn't understand we had Harrison. Oh, hi, Mr. Ford. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
I get us too. You're good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We were talking about this interview with Will Schuster, or the actor who plays him, Matthew Morrison on Glee, who says he'd love for you to appear on that song and dance TV show on Fox.
I'm in.
What?
You're in.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I love Glee.
What?
I love Glee.
You love Glee.
Oh. Wow. Now I don't.
I'm quite the song and dance man.
I never would have suspected that. I don't think I've ever seen you in a movie doing anything even close to singing or dancing.
I know.
You strike me as the opposite of a song and dance man.
No, I'm all energy.
You're all energy.
Energy and jazz hands.
So you've just been conserving that energy all the times that we've talked to you.
I've always wanted to do a musical.
What?
I've always wanted to do a musical.
Always wanted to do a musical.
I like to be on Glee and show what you can do.
They do pop, you know, current pop music. Is that the type of thing you'd be interested in, or are you more like an old school, you know, Oklahoma style Broadway musical guy?
No, I love that. I love popular music.
Pop music you like? Yeah. Okay.
I'd be dancing and singing all over the place. Glee.
I think he said he'd be dancing and singing all over the place.
You'd have to project a little more than maybe you do on the phone with us, sir.
Well, it's hard for us to understand what you're saying.
Well, that's your problem.
I guess, technically.
Will you reach out to them? Is this the type of thing
I've already made my audition tape.
You made your audition tape?
Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
Nice, Lisa.
You're welcome.
How'd you catch that one?
I don't know. I missed everything else.
What kinds of songs did you perform for them? Why do you have the Indiana Jones whip? We're not talking about whipping anybody.
I carry it with it everywhere I go.
Oh, I see. You carry the whip with you. All right.
What kinds of songs did you audition with, Harrison?
Just a small town. In a lonely world. I took a midnight train.
Okay, I don't feel like you're bringing it. It doesn't seem like you're really bringing it to life at all.
Harrison?
That doesn't sound like that's the right... I don't know if it's the key or the tempo. That's not the right song for you, Harrison. I'm sorry.
That's good.
It's a nice try, dog, but it's not for you.
That's good.
Hey, Harrison, you were not changing any of the notes. You just... There was no hitting of notes there. There was no singing, actually.
That was singing.
Another
song I prepared.
Oh, you have something else. Good.
Oops, I did it again. Play with your heart. I lost in the game. Oh, baby, they come along.
Harrison, have you heard how Britney Spears sings the song? You should be doing something closer to that. I like the ending. I do like the ending, actually. I don't think that one's right for you either. I don't know.
Maybe I should just stick with Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. Yeah. You can do Katy Perry also?
You make me feel like I'm living a daydream. Yeah. The way you turn me on, I can't sleep.
It's not...
That's what I'm doing. Don't look back.
Wait, what just happened? I heard something. I heard.
Sorry,
Harrison, go back to that other part.
I got carried away there.
No, that's what we need more of.
Katy Perry gives me a chubby.
Okay. Dave Gahan joins us on the phone coming up right after the top of the hour talking about all things Depeche Mode. So please stick around for that. Dr. Drew on the show later on as well at 6:55. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Liz Lohan.
Didn't work when her lawyer said, Lindsay's too sick to travel from New York City to Los Angeles, so she's not going to be able to show up in the courtroom. And the judge said, yeah, I think she should. Next thing you know, Lindsay's on a plane. She showed up yesterday morning, and the first thing the judge said to her was, I'm glad to see you're feeling better, Ms. Lohan.
And then she said,
that's baloney. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's baloney. So now we know the trial is set to begin on March the 18th. Oh, nothing will make me feel better nursing my post-St. Patrick's Day hangover than watching the Lindsay Lohan trial unfold in front of me on March the 18th. Imagine how Lindsay's going to feel in the courtroom after St. Patrick's Day.
They usually show it on TMZ Live. They stream it. And, boy, you got to watch this judge. She has had enough. Yeah. She's had an ass full of Lindsay Lohan.
Well, this is Stephanie Sautner. She is the judge who has dealt with Lindsay through her alleged stealing of that necklace and the probation hearings and the one that told her, listen, stop nightclubbing and stop going out and everything. Just focus on yourself and your job and you'll be fine. I don't expect to ever see you here again. Meanwhile,
she's back.
It is kind of a slap in the face to the judge's authority that she just gets ignored the minute Lindsay walks out of the courtroom.
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course.
But, every time God closes a window, he opens a door. Or every time
or the
he
other way
sends
around.
You a letter, he takes away an email. I forget how it works. But Lindsay Lohan is a brand new baby stepbrother. Yeah, her father's girlfriend, Kate Major, popped out a baby boy yesterday at a Florida hospital.
Great, he gets another run at being a bad dad.
Landon Michael Lohan is his name. Weighed in at 7 pounds, 5 ounces. Isn't this the Kate Major who said he abused me and beat me, and she went on Dr. Phil and said, I'm scared to death and I hate him. Can we get Lisa's mic on, too? I'd like to hear from her.
Oh, thank you.
There we go.
My bad. I believe it was.
It absolutely was.
And now they're having kids together.
Yeah, that's happening.
Well, she's as nuts as he is.
Yeah, she is. They make the perfect team. Anyway, it's a new Lohan in the world, so we all feel better, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's only taken a day or so. The news of a nude Arnold Schwarzenegger photo engaged in the throes of passion, as they say.
With himself?
Well, no one knows exactly what the position is. This is part of a stash that was purchased by a guy who bought storage lockers. They were once owned by former Penthouse founder Bob Guccione, who has passed away a couple years ago. They found a treasure trove of porn and photographs and letters, including reportedly a photo of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger caught naked in the act, some sex act. They won't really define what it is. The offers are rolling in. YouPorn.com. Oh, I love the YouPorn.com. They have already contacted Mr. Fromer, saying they will give him $150,000.
Wow.
For the picture, sight unseen, whatever it is, boom, they'll take it right now for $150,000.
Hmm.
I think that's low, don't you? Don't you think it'll? You can get
probably get
than
more.
That?
Yeah, it depends on
Schwarzenegger,
the picture.
Nude, you know, doing something kinky.
Bean, you could buy that and then put it right next to the naked OJ in your bathroom.
I put it next to my nude OJ photograph with his long, flaccid penis.
By the way, long, flaccid penis just added to Coachella. Here's what I would say about how much that I would pay for a photograph like that if I'm you, porn, or anybody, is how do you make that money back? If you buy it for $150,000, how do you make any money off of it?
That goes into your advertising budget. You don't think people are just going to be driven to you, porn, to go see that photograph? And then while they're there, maybe they click on an ad or two or see what you got going on there in the you porn universe.
You think this photo will ever come out? You think we'll ever know what it is?
Oh, hells to the yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this guy, why wouldn't he sell it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
when the price gets right. I still think $150 is a little low. I bet you Flint or somebody else will up the ante there.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those British.
Yeah, one of those tabloids. So I think he should hold out. But I think the day will come where we will see Arnold
Can't say.
And is Schwarzenegger. Okay. And while we're talking about people and sex, Dan Marino, fascinating story broke today. Dan Marino, clean-cut All-American quarterback. Dan Marino.
Is he still alive?
He is still alive. Of course he's
still alive.
Yeah,
he's on the TV every week.
Yeah, he works on CBS. He does all their football broadcasts over there on CBS. It turns out that Dan fathered a child out of wedlock with a CBS production assistant.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
In 2005.
USA! USA! USA!
That is a surprise. I mean, is he married? Do we know Ralph?
He's been married for 30 years, Bean.
Okay, all right.
Oh, good for you!
Has 6 children with his wife.
Wow.
The news broke yesterday. He addressed it by saying, "This is a personal and private matter. We have mutually agreed to keep our arrangement private to protect all the parties involved. I take full responsibility both personally and financially for my actions now, as I did then." But he's still with his wife. And he said, "We continue to be a strong and loving family. Dinner's a little chilly, but other than that, things are good."
Dan it's added, cold here in the guest room, but I'm getting by.
Yeah, after the birth of his daughter, Chloe, with his production assistant, according to the New York Post, Marino agreed to pay millions to her and moved her from New York to Texas to keep their relationship and child a secret. She went into the penis relocation program.
I didn't realize there was one of those.
Yes, I didn't know that either.
Look, I get 100% all of these stars that have sex with tons of women on the road and because they can. I don't get how they get so many of them pregnant. That's the part
either.
I don't understand. And there are ways. We live in a modern age where it doesn't have to happen that way.
Okay, spaceman from the future. There's a way you can have sex and not have babies. Oh, you and your little fantasy world. What are you, Ray Bradbury?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, you got that right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Marcus Mumford of the smash hit band Mumford and Sons, 26 years old today. Did you ever think you'd live in a world where banjo would be so popular?
I did not, I can not honestly either. Say.
Not since I was on the riverboats with Mark Twain did I think banjo would make such a big comeback.
You were not alive then.
I was. I was. I gave him his name.
You didn't.
I said, "Sam Clements, come over here. From now on, you shall be Mark Twain," I said.
I don't think that happened.
It happened. Justin Timberlake is 32. Kerry Washington of Scandal and Django Unchained is 36. Paul Scheer from The League is 37 years old today. Portia de Rossi, soon to be seen in new episodes of Arrested Development. How great is that? 40 years old. Minnie Driver's 43. Anthony LaPaglia is 54. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols is 57 today. Jessica Walter is 72. And Harry Wayne Casey.
Yeah!
Of Casey and the Sunshine Band. He's 62 years old today. We gotta do a little dance.
Omar sending any treats?
We got to get down tonight. No, Omar's not sending any treats, but we'll get some.
Because those aren't treats.
We'll get some Casey and the Sunshine Band, or we'll just have Beer Mug say, "Make a little love, do a little dance, get down tonight." When he asked Earth, Wind, and Fire how they were doing.
Oh, that's not us. That was Cool in the Gang, but yeah, same
thing. Cool in the Gang, same difference. You know who it wasn't? You know who it wasn't he was talking to?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
That's who he wasn't talking to.
That's correct.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hi, this is Dave Gahn from Depeche Mode.
Very excited to welcome this next gentleman onto the show. Our old friend from Depeche Mode, Dave Gahan, back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, they cheered. Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for calling me.
Is it a little odd to hear a guy's voice go that high when introducing you?
Psychologically, there could be some problems there, but we won't get into that.
Well, we're just excited. Hey, are you in New York right now, Dave?
I am indeed.
It has been like butt cold there in the last couple of weeks, right? Like crazy cold.
It was that kind of thing where it's like, oh, like it's cold, man. It was like one of those things like, yeah, that's why I don't like it here in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you just not leave the apartment or whatever you got, the situation is there? Do you stay in as much as you can? Because it just seems like it would be a pain in the butt to have to put on that many layers just to go outside.
Yeah, and it was one of those. See, I'm English, and I'm, like, from Essex in England, so it's like our mentality is like, it ain't cold, you know, and you go out with, like, you know, just a T-shirt on, being very British.
Right.
And, no, you can't do that. It's like, it literally will, your hands feel like they're going to fall off, and your ears and stuff like that. You gotta really bundle up. It's not fun, but, you know, it didn't last that long, and now they're sort of predicting that we're going to have some kind of heat wave coming in March, and then it's just going to go to summer. There's going to be, like, no spring. So, you know, no surprises here on the East Coast.
In Los Angeles.
And all that stuff. It was crazy.
In Los Angeles, I'm wearing gloves because it's going to be below 75 today.
Oh, I feel for you. Oh, my God. I know that's hard there. I remember when I lived there. That's really hard.
Well, the reason Dave is on the phone with us, not that he needs a reason, is because it's exciting news for Depeche Mode fans. You guys are back with your new album, your 13th studio album. It's coming out on March the 26th. We know just a little bit about it. It's called Delta Machine. Now, when I heard that title, you know, I saw the word Delta. I thought maybe it's got some sort of a, you know, a New Orleans or blues feel to it or something like that. Tell us what that means.
Well, you would be right in thinking that. I mean, look, I wouldn't even dare to claim that we've made a blues record. That would just be insulting. But it definitely has a lot of blues influences. I would say closer to sort of what we were doing around the time of Songs of Faith and Devotion, Violator, in its feel, in its sort of drag, in the sort of lyrical content, but musically for sure. I mean, Martin's come up with all these really cool little blues riffs, and, you know, Martin's like one of those, like, he's like an underrated guitar player. You know, he if we put a guitar around his neck in the studio, he'll just keep spilling out riffs. And the trouble is with Martin, he's such a good songwriter that he'll just be like, can't do that, it's stock. Can't do that, it's stock. Can't call it stock. If it's like, it's just a general riff, it's like, it just, he will not do it. So, but in saying that, he comes up with these little gems, and really this record is thread together by that kind of theme. And I would say it's the most direct sort of record that we've made for a while. It's less filmic and ethereal, and it's, you know, we just kind of banged out, like, 13 songs ended up on the record. Yep, 13th album, 13 songs. Some weird thing going on there.
Sure.
I don't know what that is. I just thought about that. Yeah, 13 albums. Jesus, I mean, who would have thought it?
Is it difficult to give Depeche Mode fans what they expect but still keep moving forward?
You know, that's a good question. And we actually, what we do is we do, I think, we try and steer away from that. Like, because we have a sound. Martin and I have a sound together in the studio. We realize this. We realize we have our strengths, and we come together, and now we're really kind of good with that. We're both writing songs for this record and the last few records, and, you know, Martin shows up as much on my songs as I show up on his, and we seem to be really in tune. I mean, it's taken a long while, but there was a lot of stuff going on this record where we were on the same page all the time. But, you know, I think that what we try and do is we just take the song and then we try many different arrangements and ideas with that song. Being an electronic band, primarily, you know, you can really experiment a lot, and the songs take on different arrangements, tempos, feels, everything before we find something. The song that we found that seemed to drive this record was, in fact, the single Heaven, which...
Now we're going to play that in a second. Tell us about Heaven.
Well, you know, for me, it was one of those songs where as soon as I heard it, Martin played it to me, and I was, I needed it. It was, for want of a better expression, it was a great shot in the arm. It kind of like, just was like, you know, I got to sing that. I can't wait to sing that song. It just felt like it was an old pair of boots that I'd had for like 20 years. It was comfortable. I wanted to wear it all the time. It was that kind of thing. So I, you know, that for me was like it set a standard. Everything had to be kind of as good as that in its directness, you know, and no faffing around. Like if the song's driven by a blues riff, that's what it is. I mean, let's just make that work and complement that. You know, coming back to your question just about what you asked, we make music and we steer it in whichever way it's going to go. And to be honest, when we feel like we're going down a direction where we're just repeating ourselves, I think we try and reinvent it, you know.
Right.
That's what we try and do here.
This is the voice of our friend Dave Gahan here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we're talking about the new Depeche Mode album, Delta Machine, it's called, March 26. You know, it's been 4 years since the last Depeche Mode album. Is there ever a time between records where you think now it may finally be over, we may finally be done? Because you guys do always seem to get back together and work again.
Every record, I forget.
Every record.
To be honest, after every tour, the last tour we did was, it went beyond our expectations once again. You know, I think we ended up playing to more than 3 million people around the world. It's just, you know, I'm constantly surprised by this band, and when I show up, like, really exciting things happen. I guess what I'm saying is, we're not done yet, you know. What's helped me a lot, to be honest, in between records, I've been lucky enough to land different projects that have really excited me and got me kind of really going with songwriting. And in between these records, I did a Soul Savers record with Rich Machin. That really just was just like it was such a surprise. Like, I didn't expect it at all. And I enjoyed the writing so much, the whole process and everything, and coming together, it felt very natural. So it gave me a lot of enthusiasm to go back into the studio with my band. And, I think that's a lot where the kind of sort of gospel-y, bluesy influences came from with me as well. It really sat really well with me.
Well, I have a Soul Savers question. We're also going to ask you some questions about the tour, especially as it relates to North America. And we're going to play the brand new song. It is called Heaven. Here's just a taste of what you'll be hearing when we come back with Dave Gahan on the phone right after the break. A little bit of Heaven.
Balls, 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 balls.
It's very different, Dave. I don't expect to hear that from Depeche Mode.
You know what? I'm not sure what happened in the mix. Plus, definitely did something different with that I haven't heard.
Well, it's a remix.
I like it. We'll hear the song. Talk more with Dave.
Hysterical.
Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is Heaven, brand new music from Depeche Mode.
And Heaven is just one of the great songs you'll be hearing from the brand new Depeche Mode album, Delta Machine, coming out everywhere on March 26. By the way, that song Heaven has a video. What can you tell us about the video for that, Dave Gahan, who's on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Well, funnily enough, we did actually shoot it in New Orleans, and we worked with this guy, Tim Sashenti. It's a bit of a mouthful, that name, Sashenti. And he worked with us in the studio, filming a lot of bits and pieces that we were doing, like fly-on-the-wall stuff kind of thing. We also did like a little live set in the studio towards the end of the recording in New York, and he filmed that as well, which was a lot of fun actually. And we decided to use him to do this video. It seemed like the right idea. We shot it in the Ninth Ward mostly in New Orleans, and he did a lot of other sort of imagery as well. You know, kind of like imagery that was based like you know that movie The Tree of Life.
Sure, sure.
It was kind of cool. The imagery in it was very cool.
Yeah, visually beautiful. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, when he was ascending up in the tree and all that kind of, it was a bit weird seeing him sort of, at that point, I thought the movie went a bit weird, but visually it was very exciting. And I think Tim used a lot of that kind of those ideas mixed up with a lot of kind of sort of dark, twisted kind of stuff in there that you kind of, if you look carefully, you see. Mainly it's a performance video, which we haven't done for a long time. We set up as a band. Christian came over and played some drums, and we kind of, Mark on guitar, Fletcher on some keyboards, and we kind of set up in this church. And he just filmed us and projected all these weird sort of images over us. But I think it's really cool. It works with the song, because the song is very, you know, it's just driven by the fact that it is a great song. And for me, it's like, that's what I want to hear. That's what I'm still moved by when I hear songs that I'm like, you know, just make me want to make music, you know. And that was one of those songs.
And you can see that video on Vevo. We have Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode. Let's talk about your touring plans. It looks like you're doing a European tour starting in early May.
That's correct.
Why are the Israelis better than the Americans? Why do you start there, Dave? What's going on?
I don't know. I think it's got... Well, let me see. It must be... I don't know. We're just drawn back to that land somehow. We had a kind of few miss gigs there. Years ago, we cancelled a show there. It was when there was like war was kind of breaking out and rockets were flying all over the place.
What a
pussy! I think it was the end of the play in the Angel Tour or something like that. But we didn't go.
But what a stage show that would have been! You would have had explosions everywhere. Yeah. It would have been awesome.
We didn't have to pay for pyrotechnics.
Right.
So cool, yeah.
Do you remember when you played Dodger Stadium and there was that huge lightning storm behind you?
I do.
That was so cool.
I remember I embraced it. I thought it was like, it was definitely a sign from God.
Well, the European tour has 34 shows in 25 different European countries, and you're going everywhere. You're going to France, and you're going to Russia, and you're going to Italy, and you're going to Israel, and you're going to Belarus. But we've heard very little about a North American tour. I know that one will follow. Do you have anything at all, any just even a rough idea of when you might come there?
You know, I know for sure that we are starting on the West Coast, and it will be shortly after this leg ends. You know, we start, as you said, in Europe at the beginning of May there. It goes on for a while. And they're predominantly outside shows, big sort of stadium shows. And then I think there'll be a mix of those things towards the end of the summer in North America. So we'll definitely be doing something, trying to find something to do special in Los Angeles. Of course, those couple of shows that we did at the Hollywood Bowl on the last tour were just really fantastic.
So right. Fun. It was
actually two of my favorite shows on the whole tour. I don't know why. There was something special about those gigs. I got little goosebumps there, like thinking about that.
That was cool. So probably Belarus is the last show of Europe, so that'll be July 29th. So probably sometime August-ish, we'll see you on the West Coast then.
I would think you'd be absolutely right. August, September.
Are you ever amazed in our final moments with our friend Dave Gahan? Again, Depeche Mode, new album coming out March 26th. We just played the song Heaven from Depeche Mode. Are you ever amazed? I mean, you're not the Rolling Stones yet, but 32 years, Dave, is a long time to keep a band together. Are you ever just stunned that Depeche Mode is a thing in 2013?
You know, I am. And I'm very proud that we are still able to do this because we kind of have always done it our way. And you know, we've been that band that nobody understood. Then we've been the band that everybody tried to imitate. And then now suddenly we're the band that everybody says, oh, we were influenced by. You know, it's that kind of... Anyone that's got any kind of coolness whatsoever seems to like Depeche Mode. And I know I'm blowing our own trumpet, but we're still kind of like the biggest alternative band out there somehow. And you know, you guys have got a lot to do with that as well. You've constantly supported us, I gotta say that. And
I really think it's mostly due to us.
I think it's mostly due to you.
Not to blow my own horn.
Not to get leaked as well. I know.
Of course. Look, we're doing our part, but you guys keep making the music that we love, so that's why we're always there for you. Dave, we love having you on the show, man. It's always great when we get a chance to catch up. We're very excited about this new song, the album, the tour, everything. I hope we get a chance to see you again when you come to town, my friend.
I hope so. Maybe we can do something special.
Fantastic. Yes. Thanks, Dave. Have a great one, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.
The more you watch the NFL Network coverage this week, don't you kind of wish you were in New Orleans? Looks like they're having a pretty good time down there, doesn't it?
I heard money on Monday. I think it was Monday, from New Orleans, and I was just thinking, the last time I was in New Orleans, I was with money. And man, did we get smashed. And wow, I need to be there.
Well, let's see how Andrew Siciliano is holding up after a few days in the Big Easy down there covering Super Bowl 47. Andrew, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. I've actually woken up and had coffee and gone to the gym already.
Wow. That is not the way to spend time in New Orleans. Come on.
No, don't get me wrong. I was out till 2:30, but you got to work and everything else.
Time in the gym?
That's crazy.
Nah, you give that up.
Hey, is all the talk this week, Ray Lewis, eating deer antlers?
It's not necessarily eating the deer antler. I believe it's spraying the deer antler under his tongue.
Okay.
That is kind of the talk. That and what what Chris Culliver of the 49ers said yesterday as well.
I didn't hear what he said.
Yeah, let's handle both of those. Let's do Ray Lewis first. Now, he is denying that he was in any way involved in this, and this, I guess some people are suggesting it's some sort of performance-enhancing drug that the NFL cannot test for, right?
Well, correct. I mean, look, I am not the doctor nor the scientist. I've spoken to both, however. And basically what this stuff is the SI article details, is it's a spray that turns into HGH. It's basically natural HGH. And it contains a compound which is banned by everyone, the NFL, by everyone. However, HGH testing, if this were to raise your HGH levels, and again, I'm going to sound like an idiot here, I'm not the doctor, but we don't test for HGH in the NFL. You can only test for HGH effectively by using a blood test. And it is something that the league and the union have been arguing about for some time. It's really, you know, baseball now is HGH testing, but football does not. Congress has recently actually threatened to step in if the league and the union don't work something out. But currently there is no HGH testing. So even if Ray Lewis claims he did take it, let's say he says he took it, he's not going to test positive for it because you can't test for it.
Right. And what could they do to him? He has exactly one game left to play in his NFL career, so does it really matter?
It doesn't matter. It's a he said. This guy who has little credibility says he didn't. He took it. And I think most people believe him, even though no one likes his credibility. Ray says he did not take it.
Ray says not only he didn't take it, but it's the work of the devil.
Yeah, well, look, there are two things this week that I think Ray has said that people have kind of rolled their eyes. Number one, it's the work of the devil. And number two, on Media Day Tuesday, when someone brought up the murder case, look, you got to come full circle. It is part of the narrative here, and he knows it, and he's handled the questions reasonably well for the last decade. But when it was brought up on Tuesday, he said that there is no one here who is qualified to ask him about that.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that doesn't sit well, I don't think. There's no question that Ray Lewis is one of those polarizing figures that if you love him, you really love him. And if you are looking for things to be irritated by his behavior, whether it's his dance or his proleticizing, the word I can never pronounce, or any number of other things that he does, or maybe, you know, turning state's evidence on his friends. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to dislike the guy. But when a story like this Deer Antler thing comes out, is that actually a distraction down there for the Ravens? Or is that just, you know, we have a week to Phil, we got to come up with something to talk about.
All right. Well, here's the distraction for either team all week. The distraction is constant around the clock media attention and press conferences.
NFL Network.
It's everybody. Everybody.
Mostly NFL Network.
More NFL than anyone. We are part of that. Look, there are 5,000 members of the media here.
Wow.
That's, well, when I say members of the media, that includes, like, you know, Mexican TV stations that dress people as superheroes, that kind of thing, right? and that stuff is here. So,
hey, does that include Vic the Brick wearing a Chewbacca outfit or whatever he was wearing the other day at Media Day?
I saw our good friend Vic, and he said it's some kind of warrior thing. It looked like, honestly, something from, you know, what is it, Above the Wall in Game of Thrones?
I don't know what the hell was going on there. This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano from the NFL. I'm sure it did. From the NFL Network on the phone from New Orleans. You made a reference to the Chris Culliver story that Kevin hasn't heard yet. He's also backtracking on those comments. Tell folks what happened in that interview.
Well, he is a cornerback, so it is his job to backtrack.
Sure.
Chris Culliver is a reasonably unknown player on the 49ers. He's a cornerback. He's their third defensive back, if you would. And he went on a radio show, the Artie Lang radio show, former Stern sidekick, on Tuesday, and said he was asked, I assume he was asked about Plame Harris, who is a former Niner first-round pick, came out earlier this week that he got in a fight with his former boyfriend.
Right.
So that story got out. I assume he was asked about that and asked, would you want a gay teammate? And he said, I wouldn't want a gay teammate. You can get that up out of here, and we wouldn't want a gay teammate. And I hope if you were a gay teammate, and I'm paraphrasing here, that you wait 10 years after you retire to announce it, that kind of thing.
Right.
And remember, he plays in San Francisco.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, there's got a lot of gay. You got a lot of gay 49ers fans listening to what he's talking about here.
And then honestly, his look, so the Niners issue a rebuke. And by the way, it didn't come out for a day. So he said it Tuesday. No one caught wind of it until Wednesday. And then the Niners issue a statement rebuking it and saying we condemn his comments, as they should. They did the right thing. But then his statement last night was just stupefying. It almost sounded as bad as his initial comments.
Yeah, it's crazy.
While
while those feelings were in my head, they're not in my heart.
What?
So in other words, I think them, but I really don't believe them. And, I mean, it was just the worst circular logic you could ever imagine.
Yeah. He said basically, until I saw them in print, I didn't realize how hateful and hurtful and wrong they are. Even though I may feel that way, I don't think that. I mean, it was, yeah, you're right. It was the worst apology ever. All right. Couple more things with you, Andrew, if you don't mind, because I know we're limited on time. How much of a story is the fact that the kid from The Blind Side, the movie, the book, and then turned into the movie, that kid that, you know, that Sandra Bullock adopted, that he's playing in the freaking Super Bowl? How cool is that? And are people talking about that?
His name is Michael Orr. He actually was asked about it this week. I mean, look, he's been repeatedly asked about it for years. He said this week, I'm sick of it. I don't want to be known as that guy anymore. I want to be known as Michael Orr, the football player. He has had a little bit of a rough year. You know, left tackle, which is what he played, is the premier offensive line position. Those guys make the most money. They're taken to the top of the draft. They, if anyone can have the sexy position on the O-line, that's that guy, Michael Orr.
Big if there.
However, he didn't play that well this year. He was moved to the far less sexy, is that English? Right side. In essence, demoted to the right side of the line. So he is in this game, but believe me, he is not. If you had to rank the top 10 stories for the Ravens, he's not one of them.
That's really interesting because, you know, I remember just all the hype with the Oscars and everything like that around that movie and how inspirational his story was to be this kid adopted by the white family and making it to the NFL. That was a success story enough. But now to be playing and maybe winning in a Super Bowl, I thought that'd be a bigger deal. All right. Last question for you. I know you're quite the foodie. Tell me what turtle soup is all about. I guess you had some of that down there in New Orleans.
I'll say this. I've had two amazing meals. Went a couple of nights ago to a Commander's Palace, the oldest restaurant here. I've been around since the 1880s. Last time went to Koshan. Two nights ago at Commander's Palace, turtle soup is their legendary appetizer. It tasted like turtle.
How do you know what they taste like? B, is that good?
Joking aside, it had amazing flavor. It has little pieces of white meat in it, which honest to God, in the broth, which was this heavy Cajun spiced pepper broth, which was just out of this world.
Yeah.
You don't know what the meat is. It is turtle.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fantastic.
Turtle soup. All right. And the other thing you ate was?
Nothing. Dave thought it was odd that I had alligator last night.
Did you have alligator last night?
Yeah. Alligator was good.
I don't think that's odd in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of alligator meals.
If I gave you alligator and told you it's calamari, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. Well, you're living it up, man. Good times down there in New Orleans. You're having fun.
Yes, sir.
Would you guess you're going to gain 20 or 30 pounds this week?
Why do you think I was up to go to the gym this morning?
Exactly. All right, Andrew, quick plug for the NFL Network. What's coming up today we should look for?
We have around-the-clock coverage, Super Bowl Live, and Total Access literally all day long.
Fantastic. Can't go wrong. Have a great time this weekend. We'll look forward to talking to you next time, my friend. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank
you.
All right. Everybody stop yelling at Beer Mug for just a minute.
Can we knife him instead? If I promise not to yell, can I knife?
Please.
Oh, my God. Please put me out of my misery. All right. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah. Before I get to Showbiz Beat, let me just read something out of the LA Times this morning. Let me just read, piece out of the LA Times this morning.
Ralph is holding up.
No, I'm just reading an article. That's all I'm doing.
The envelope?
The envelope is the section of the LA Times they run each week about the upcoming award season. There's Robert De Niro in the front page. Yeah.
Full
Let me just
cover
read a
photo,
quick article
page.
Inside the envelope section of the LA Times
an
this morning.
An ad for Arclight with Ralph Garman's full-size picture on the back page.
I didn't even notice this.
Really?
Had you not brought it to my attention, I would have not noticed that there's a huge full-page ad featuring me promoting the Arclight Cinemas there on the back in color page of the envelope section of the LA Times this morning.
Are you Kevining in your photo?
This doesn't mean Kevining is coming back, does
sadly.
It?
Sadly. I said to them, they said, can we use your ad for the Arclight for the LA Times? I said, sure, I'd be honored to have that happen. I said, however, I will double your advertising budget if you choose the Kevining picture of Kevin at the Arclight instead of me. I will pay you twice what you're spending to put my ad in the paper.
Oh, that's
and they
so
said,
funny.
That picture is no longer available.
All right.
is no longer available to us.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Mrs. Kevin came down with a team of lawyers and said we can't use that picture anymore. So, yeah. But isn't that cool? LA Times, how about that? I'm somebody!
Or they're slumming.
More the phone other. Book's here! The phone book's here! Hey, speaking of me, why don't you come see me Saturday night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater? It's up there at Universal Studios on City Walk every Saturday night. Well, not every Saturday night, but some Saturday nights. I do a show with Kevin Smith, the very funny, talented director, writer, actor Kevin Smith. We do a show called Hollywood Babylon together where we make fun of people who have more money than we do, who are better looking than we are, and have better careers than we have. It's a way for us to vent those feelings, and you get to sit there and laugh along with us, we hope.
Now.
Come on. 10 o'clock this Saturday. Go to CSMOD, C-E-E-M-O-S-M-O-D, C-E-E-S-M-O-D.com, CSMOD.com for details and to pick up your tickets. Love you.
First off, I want to say you're very good at your craft work.
Thank you. One of the things I know we'll be talking about is this new book by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Lawrence Wright. I think we might have to get Larry Wright in here to talk about this.
What is it?
It's a new book, came out this year. It's being widely excerpted. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It is. In Touch Magazine, New York Post has run a piece on it. It is called Going Clear, Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief.
Ooh.
Fascinating stuff. On any level, but when they get into the celebrity, the Hollywood portion of the story of Scientology, you will be surprised.
Now we better book that interview soon before he gets smited, right?
Before he's murdered, sure, yeah. But I'm just saying,
do I have to have beer mug start my car again every day before
you
leave?
Yeah, you do.
Ah, Kevin just now stopped looking over his shoulder at the Scientologist coming after him, but we're going to bring another guy in.
Says in this book, this is according to Lawrence Wright. This guy isn't some jamoke. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He's won a bunch of awards for his previous books. He is a regular reporter for the New Yorker magazine. Okay. This is a well researched piece. Allegedly. Supposedly.
And we don't really know.
We're against it.
And he says Tom Cruise, sure, he's a big-time movie star, but it pales in comparison to his daytime job, which is to smite humanity from the aliens who are living inside of our bodies. That's why Tom Cruise believes he's here on the planet. That's his purpose, to get rid of all the aliens that live inside of us that are bent on destroying humanity.
Huh. How does he smite them?
Well, it does not say here. Oh. I haven't read the book, but I'm guessing there's something about a ray gun. I guess there's a ray gun involved. And I think there's some sort of a capsule you put it into, and there's a big storage facility and an old firehouse in New York City. And then you don't cross the streams or something bad will happen. I forget how it works.
I don't think any of that's right.
Tom has also signed a contract of service with the Church of Scientology for 1 billion years.
You can't be too safe, you know?
But the good news is, a billion years from now, he will be a free agent. And imagine how much he'll be worth on the open market once his contract lapses. Tom is the third in charge with the Scientology Church.
I did not
know
that. He was high.
He's the third man. You got
David Miscavige.
Well, first is L. Ron.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
LRH, as he's known. Then David Miscavige is number two, and Tom is number three.
Real.
And, you know, those are the big stories. And Tom thinks he can move objects with his mind. So, that kind of stuff. In this book. But fascinating read. I was just going through some of it, and I said, wow, maybe we can have him in before he...
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
Before he disappears. I'd love to have
Mr.
him.
Cruise? Yeah. Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet!
Yeah.
South Park, which we're also against.
That's right. We do not believe in South Park. Wow, I'm out of time already. How the time flies when you're... Have a huge ad in the LA Times.
You spent the whole time with your nose in the paper.
I know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons is 26 years old today. Justin Timberlake turns 32. Kerry Washington of Scandal. She's an attractive young lady, Kerry Washington. She's also in Django Unchained, playing Jamie Foxx's slave wife who he tries to rescue. And I can see why he puts it on the line to rescue that.
She's
right
way
there.
Hot.
Paul Scheer from The League and Best Week Ever, funny comedian.
He's also way hot, by the way.
I can't go for that gap tooth look. It's lost on me. He's 37. Portia de Rossi is 40. Minnie Driver is 43. Anthony LaPaglia celebrates his 54th birthday. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, a.k.a. Johnny Lydon. He is 57. Jessica Walter from Arrested Development and Archer is 72. And Harry Wayne Casey of KC and the Sunshine Band. That's right. Get down tonight. get down tonight.
Oh, sweet, sweet music.
Come on. How do you not shake your moneymaker when that song comes on?
Oh, you know me. I have to shake my moneymaker
all
times.
All the girls to the dance floor. He's 62 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
Dr. Drew joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And if you missed it, we've got highlights of our interview with Dave Gahan. We caught up with Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode last hour. We'll give you some highlights coming up next hour for those who haven't heard it yet and play their new song, Heaven, again. Boy, I like that. I like that song more every time I hear it.
I do, too.
Super Bowl is this weekend, of course, Sunday. Lisa, who's playing? Refresh my memory. Who's in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, I knew this. I knew. Okay, wait.
I love
the
girls.
Ravens.
The Ravens. Yes.
And
49ers.
Don't help her.
Well,
Kevin,
don't give it away.
Oh, is he
Come
faking
on.
Me out?
No, okay. It's the 49ers.
She
it's
looked,
the 49ers.
I swear to God, before you yelled at me, Bean, she was not going to say it because she thought I was leading her astray.
Because I don't believe Kevin.
Yeah. So you were completely tuned out when we were talking to Andrew Siciliano about the 49ers in the locker room and the conjure. Okay, so you weren't listening to
I was trying to eat my cereal and not crunch in the mic.
That's good to know. Well, I think this is
she's thoughtful. I'll give her that.
A new survey by the Public Religion Research Institute. They did a survey earlier this month. They asked a random sample of over 1,000 adults a bunch of questions about the NFL. And one of the questions that they asked is whether or not you believe that God plays a role in determining which team wins a sporting event.
No.
27% said yes.
I bet you 100% of players say yes.
It's weird, too, because even the players who are religious, who believe in God, when they lose, don't thank him.
No,
you
they
don't hear
do
them
not.
Say, like, thank God for giving me the talent or whatever. They just don't
mention. That's not the plan.
But then the winners, they all go, thank God, you know, he was with us and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I don't get
now,
that.
I know that this is a potentially a delicate topic to wade into, so let me just give this disclaimer. None of us have any idea what God is involved in or is not involved in, or if there is a God or if there is not a God. It's all faith. Whatever you believe is faith, and I'm fine with it, and I'm comfortable with whatever you decide your interpretation of God or no God is, okay? So I don't want anyone to think I'm coming down on your beliefs, because I'm not. But I am curious what conclusion people have drawn about how God works. Because there are those who think that God is just a spectator, that God is up there, but he unleashed man onto the world and said, free will, I'm just going to sit back until it's time to end this thing, and I'm just going to let you do whatever you want, make your own mistakes, and I'll be here if you need me.
Good luck. I'm out.
I'm out. Then there are those who think that God is there every time a bus goes over a mountain and one little kid survives. People go, well, that was God. God is the one who saved that little kid. I don't understand why he killed the other 47 people on the bus, but God saved that little kid.
That's always the weird part.
But people, I mean, look, you've heard that interpretation from people
before. Of course.
Right? People, there are some people who say that God is involved in every little detail of what happens on Earth. If a rock falls off a trail on a path, that was God's doing. Then there are other people who say he doesn't have anything to do with it. There are other people who think he picks and chooses. Some things he's into, some things he's not into. I mean, none of us really know. But I think it'd be fascinating to hear from our listeners if they think God is involved in a game. Like, how it works, how would God decide which team to root for? Would San Francisco automatically be out because they love the gays? Would Baltimore automatically be out because they have that guy that killed all those people? I mean, how would God decide, like, which team, or is it just based on which football team has the most devout religious people on it? Would he decide that way?
The fans,
like, how does it work?
Maybe. I don't know, but I'm always curious why somebody after the game, let's say the Ravens win and Ray Lewis is on. He likes to talk about God a lot these days. So let's say he says, thank God for the victory and all that. I just wish one reporter would say, does that mean God made the 49ers lose?
Yes.
Is that what that means?
That'd be a great follow-up question.
Just to see, because how does that mechanism work exactly?
This is what's fascinating to me, is we all kind of have our own interpretations of how God works on Earth or not. But we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. In particular, if you're somebody who believes that God is a factor in sporting events.
Was the statistic? A third?
27%.
Wow.
So one, I mean, if you're together with, if you're watching the game with three other people, one of you in that room believes that God is playing a role in determining which team wins a sporting event. The other question asked that's in this article from Deadspin.com, by the way, is, is a majority of Americans, 53% of the respondents in this survey of 1,000 adults, believe that God rewards athletes who have faith with good health and success.
So that's a little more generic.
But that's
it's not a specific game. No, I hear you.
Right,
I hear you.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's not as specific.
But aren't there tons of like super good stand-up religious guys who never win a Super Bowl, who never go to the Super Bowl or never win a Super Bowl? That's, I mean, I would imagine there have to be a lot of great players who – Tony Gonzalez, by the way, one of the most beloved guys in the NFL, is never going to a Super Bowl. He's apparently retiring with the Falcons this year, played 16 seasons or something like that. Where's God helping out Tony?
Well, we don't know what's in Tony's heart. Maybe it's not
that's
as
true,
pure
Lisa.
As you think.
So we'll take your calls. Let's start with Victoria quickly, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. You're part of the third that believes or not?
I do believe.
Not in God, but that he plays a role in the outcome of a specific game.
Well, in both. I believe in God, and I believe he plays a role in the outcome of everything.
Okay.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So are God's fingerprints on, just as an example, because it's the most recent one on my mind, the Lakers lose last night to Phoenix. God had a role in that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why? Like, why do you think God cares who wins any of these games?
He's not slapping Kobe's shot into the crowd. Or is he? I don't know.
You know, I think that it comes down to the individual players' destiny and their karma and the path that God has laid out for them.
Okay, but what? There are how many people on a football team? 55 or something? I mean,
so yeah. is it which side has the most believers? That team is always going to win?
No, not necessarily which side has the most believers, but what type of life they're living. If that's their destiny to be a Super Bowl champion.
So it is a cumulus. Is that the right word?
No. Cumulative.
Cumulative effect of the you add up all of the players and what's in their hearts, and then the ones that are the most pure do the best. They'll win the game. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just asking.
Then that sounds like predestination.
We're taking all comers here. We're not judging. We're not making fun. Everybody makes up their own mind what they believe in, but we want to make sure we understand what you're saying, and that's your interpretation.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So why does it BYU win every college football championship? Because they have super devout, no drink, no smoke, no sex, go to church all the time players.
Well, that could be just the facade that they're living on the outside. Who knows who these players are on the inside and what's in their heart?
Okay. Oh. So on Sunday,
really, they have a lot of pride. Maybe they think they're righteous.
Okay.
And, you know, we're not supposed to own it. The glory goes to God, not to ourselves.
Okay.
All right. Got it. Great first call. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Victoria. 1-800-520-1067. How does it work? And if God has told you who's going to win the Super Bowl, I got a call with my bookie right after the show. Please hook me up with that information, too. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. New survey of over 1,000 adults, and 27% said they believe, quote, God plays a role in determining which team wins a sporting event. End quote. Now, I'd love more information. Does that mean just Super Bowls or every sporting event, like every high school game, every college game, every game around the world every night?
I would guess that people who believe that would not just think that he only plays a part in the big games. I would guess it's uniform.
So we're hearing your interpretations of how God affects sporting events. A couple of comments from our listeners, then we'll go right back to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. One listener called in and said, God clearly does not exist in sports. If he did, the Raiders would not have won 4 Super Bowls. That's an excellent point. Someone else adds, and Tim Tebow would be an NFL quarterback.
Well,
because who loves God more than Tim Tebow does? Right?
Why is your voice going so high?
That's actually a great question. All right, let's try Karen. How about Karen on line 2 to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Karen, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. How do you interpret God's relationship to sporting events?
Well, I don't think that it's just everybody that's pure of heart. I think some people need help in the area of faith, so God is there for maybe one reason or another in their life. And I do believe that it applies to all sport, everything in life, basically. Sporting events, anything.
Did you say a push in the right direction?
Yeah, it gives them maybe a push in the right direction.
But
or
do you mean that literally? Let's say there's a punt returner and he has faith, but not enough. God literally pushes him a little faster?
No. I mean, like, maybe in their mind, they're wavering in their faith, like, do I believe, don't I believe, you know, that type of thing. And sometimes when certain events happen in people's lives, it strengthens their faith
Or if they strengthen the faith of people around them. So,
all right, let me put it this way, Karen. Do you think that it's possible for a team with no believers, with a completely agnostic squad, but phenomenally physically talented, to win a game?
Absolutely, because God loves everyone and God helps everyone. So maybe that's the team that needs the most help.
Ah, nice.
Not necessarily the believers that need all the help because they already believe. They're kind of already on God's team.
So the Raiders would win every Super Bowl then.
Because they need the most help from God, right? All right, Karen. Good call. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's try Josh. Josh is on line 4 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa Mack.
Good morning.
So this is what I think about it. It's less about the players' beliefs, less about the fans' beliefs. It's less about the player. And it's more about the fact that for the game, the more effect it has on the rest of the world. Like, let's say, you know, shot in the dark. Ravens win the Super Bowl. Somehow, Ray Lewis winning the Super Bowl results in him becoming, you know, a massive spokesperson for something big in the world.
Right.
And as a result of that, you know, something dramatically in the world changes. You know, that would be a reason for God to step in.
But isn't that just a cop-out to you can't figure it out, so you say that? Because we'll never know. Right? I mean, you could claim that for every game, for every team that wins every game, and you'll never know why exactly.
Yeah, you could claim that for every action that everyone takes every time. You don't know what the overarching big picture is. But at the same time, what you weren't asking who's going to win. You were asking if God would ever affect who is going to win, and that would be the only reason why.
You think God cares because he thinks of the ripple effect of that particular team winning. Like, who won the Super Bowl last year? Does anyone remember? No. what was the ripple effect of whoever that team was?
The Giants.
The Giants?
Well, okay. Yeah.
So, I guess you're right in that maybe it's working in mysterious ways that we just can't see, but that is an interesting interpretation. Thank you, Josh, for the call.
Thank you.
Do we have time? I guess we don't have time. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. I know, like I said, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. Everybody has their own interpretation. But what did we learn? Who should I be betting on? Because the game is Sunday. What am I supposed to do here?
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Flip a coin. Thursdays mean we catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who, of course, is the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call, airing weeknights on HLN. And you wouldn't think that Dr. Drew, a real-life medical doctor, would be calling in to tell us how we can get drunk faster. But that's exactly why he's on the phone today, Kevin.
Great news.
I wasn't here to tell you about it. I was here to answer questions about it. My understanding was you guys, according to Dave the King of Mexico, you guys were running out to the store to grab one.
Well, yes. I mean, we're ordering 10 of them online because we get a discount on the Vapor-tini. I think it's the best idea I've ever heard. You haven't had a chance to see one in person yet, have you, Doc?
No, but here's what we're talking about. It's called the Vapor-tini. It's not shaken, not stirred. It's inhaled. And we've used these kinds of technologies forever in terms of medical research, research on addiction. They send vapors into the chambers with rats or even fruit flies to intoxicate them. You may not get them to drink, certainly not the fruit fly, get them to drink the alcohol, so you subject them to vapors. Never did I imagine the human would start subjecting themselves to this.
This is weird, too, and we've asked this question before, but how much of a hurry are you in? Because if you're drinking vodka, I mean, it really does take a couple of minutes to feel it.
Do you get drunk without calories?
Well, there you go. That's what people are hoping, because it really is crackahol. Because think about it. When you aerosolize, when you vaporize crack, it goes directly into your lung, the entire surface area of your lung. The same thing with alcohol. Entire surface area of the lung is available immediately to the bloodstream, which goes through the heart right up to the brain. And it's a massive dose fast, and there's concern that it can trigger addiction more easily, concern there's going to be overdoses and deaths. So people don't know yet, but I was just thinking about what Kevin, frankly, what his bar is going to look like now. There's going to be like,
how dare you?
There's going to be sort of a bong and some sort of enema device and a tampon. And
how dare you?
And then glasses.
And then I have to put it in my eye, right?
Yeah, is this an eyedropper.
Is this a safer way to put alcohol in your eye?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, they put LSD in that way. Why not alcohol? But some of the warnings I was hoping to give you guys was, first of all, it's actually not a vaporizer; it's a nebulizer. And if you try to vaporize alcohol, it can explode.
So if you actually have
a vaporizer, please don't think, "Oh, I can do this myself." I think that's a great idea because that causes heat, and the heat can ignite. putting water and air in nebulizes into particles, and they gets into the lungs. Not great for your lungs, we don't think. Obviously, I've already said overdose triggering addiction, and you know we don't even know all the full complications are going to be yet, but I'm sure we will see this soon.
Well, I will tell you that I'm on the Vapertini website right now, which is Vapertini.com, because we are trying to order some. They are already out of stock on the Vapertini. That's how popular this item is.
Yesterday.
What's that, Doc?
Kevin got there yesterday.
I wiped them out. Now, my fear would be, unless you have some sort of a mask or something to channel the vapors into your mouth or nose, that you would waste a lot. Like, a lot would go out into the air. Particles go out into the air that you don't breathe. That would be my concern.
Yeah, you're like a master bong.
Yeah. Bean's only worried about waste.
Yeah, I'm used to my pothead friends worrying about wasting. They say you sound like one of those guys. But, no, I really don't understand fully what the mechanics of it are going to be. I haven't seen one yet, although I have a feeling if Bean's any indication, I'll be seeing one soon.
Will you come in the morning that it arrives at K-Rock? Will you come in and do some Vapertini with us, Doc?
Oh, I don't think morning vapors isn't what I'm looking
Look,
for.
Look, just try it. I mean, you really do need to try it before you can talk intelligently about it.
Well, let me read about it first, okay. And then maybe I'll try it, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't saying that when you were doing all that heroin to research it, remember?
I love that logic. I can't treat a heroin addict, let's say a heroin, can't treat a cancer patient, let's say a cancer. It's fantastic.
I know, it's funny because I can tell you that it's bad to lose an arm without losing an arm.
Well, here's what I love about our listeners is Dr. Drew specifically came on to answer our questions so that he could advise us not to use the Vapertini. And what we have instead done is ordered the Vapertini and insisted that he come down and use it with us. That's how this worked out.
That's great. I think I'll go back to bed.
Dr. Drew, host of Love Line, along with Psycho Mike Catherwood, 5 nights a week on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call airing weeknights at 9. And don't forget, go to AdamCarolla.com and check out all of the great Dr. Drew podcasts, both with the Ace Man and on his own. They're outstanding, Doctor.
Thank you. It's really been a very interesting thing to do, and I'm very pleased how it's working out.
It's so weird to hear you talking about politics and things like that I normally don't get from you, you know?
Not even politics, but it's long-form interviews where I can talk. We can really get into
Sorry, we got to go.
All right, bye.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is Thrift Shop. Take two. This is Thrift Shop.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's fun, isn't it?
Wasn't your second attempt take two? So would that really been take three when you tried to get it right?
I did try it twice.
I did try it twice before
that
take
would be...
two.
So I should have said take three.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
Hey, next half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, highlights of an interview we did earlier this morning with Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode, talking about forthcoming new album, Delta Machine, new single Heaven, and plans for a North American tour. So if you missed any of that, we got highlights for you coming up between 9 and 9:30 here on K-Rock. And, of course, in just a few minutes, you'll be qualified to go see Mumford and Sons in, I want to say, where is it?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Thank you very much. That's coming up in a few minutes.
Amsterdam!
I love it. Weed there.
Honeyweed.
And food. And weed and food.
First, though, Ralph's got the show. But speak away, Ralph.
Yeah, I do. Yesterday was in court in front of Judge Stephanie Sautner, who is my favorite judge in the world.
I know, I love her.
She
she's not my judge.
Kicked things off by saying to Lindsay, "Oh, I'm glad to see you're feeling better," in reference to the fact that her lawyer said she can't possibly come to New York, Los Angeles from New York because she has a respiratory infection, Your Honor. And then there were photos of her walking through New York shopping, puffing away in a Marlboro Red. I guess those lungs were clearing up. Well, you know, it's science. Dr. Drew could have addressed this. Smoking does help clear your lungs.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was the opposite.
No, it's like a nebulizer. you use it for lung fixing.
Weird. For lung fixing?
Yeah. The good news is the reason Lindsay's in New York is not because she's tired of the paparazzi here in Los Angeles or she needed a fresh start. Word comes down this morning that she is so broke she has to live with her mom in her mom's house.
Oh.
In Long Island. She had to go home and that because she can't afford even an apartment in Los Angeles any longer. That's why she's in New York.
Wow.
And the bad side of the coin there is Lindsay probably, maybe, possibly, potentially, would like to clean her act up. But Dina likes to party so hard she keeps dragging Lindsay along with her because Lindsay gets her into the best places.
Oh, Jesus.
And so her mother is dragging her out and making her drink more by asking to party every night.
I want to move in with her mother.
You should. You guys would be a good match. And then Lindsay ends up looking like she did yesterday, which is 50 and puffy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's sad.
How, How does Dina Lohan have money, by the way? How is she making a living?
Well, she had 10% of all of Lindsay's earnings over
she's
the years.
She's wasted as much.
And she got a settlement, I think, from Michael when they divorced. And I think their home is owned outright. So I guess she's in better shape.
I know we're all yucking it up at all, but are we? How are we going to react when Lindsay turns up dead later this year? Are we just going to go, ha ha? Are we going to be sad, or what are we going to do? What's
well,
our response?
I mean,
response?
It'll be a shame. She's a young woman.
But it won't be a shock at all, right?
It won't be shocking at all, but I think it'll be sad.
Will it be sad?
For real, yeah.
Well, because I think she didn't get much of a start in her life with those parents.
No, she was the deck was stacked against her from Jump Street. And
but she certainly has had a lot of people, including the great state of California, who have stepped in and tried to guide her toward making better choices.
But
your friend, the judge, being one of them.
You know better. You know. Look, get Dr. Drew back on the phone. You know, unless she really wants to get the help, unless she wants to straighten things out, all of the well-intentioned judges and teachers and friends in the world can't make a difference.
Yeah. I guess.
She's
just sad.
Get there herself.
Kind of sad.
And nobody wants her to get there, really. You know, nobody wants her to go into a program and disappear out of the public eye and focus on getting sober. Her mother her mother doesn't want that. Because then who would Dina Lohan be without her daughter out there doing canyons and other stuff to live in the reflected glory of, you know? Michael doesn't want her really to do that because he's an attention whore as well.
Right.
Her publicists and her lawyers and all the people who make money off of her tragedies don't really want her to clean up. The friends who she parties with certainly doesn't want her to clean up.
She needs Britney's dad. That's what she needs.
She needs somebody who genuinely cares about her and not about themselves to step in and take some control. But I don't see that person in her life. I don't know if she has anyone like
that. Well, we talk about in showbiz, you know?
More importantly, yes.
Well, that's a good point.
I got a two-hour show in the week as this Hollywood Babylon. I think I 45 minutes of it is Lindsay Chunk. So why don't you back off, Bean? You're messing with people's livelihoods here. All right. This is a great story. A man in England was just evicted from his home. He was living in a complex there in Digby Court in the Lenton area of Nottingham, which is up north in the UK. And the Nottingham City Council have confirmed that they have successfully served him with an eviction notice because of all the neighbors were complaining so much that he kept playing the Spice Girls over and over again at loud volume.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Despite being warned, Mr. Townrow said the official had a total disregard for his neighbors. At times, the volume of the Spice Girls was so loud, residents would leave their properties to escape the music. Yeah. FIFA forever, man. One of his neighbors said, look, I like the Spice Girls, too. But not like that.
I'd like to listen to them myself, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, if you don't mind. But 7 days a week is very difficult to deal with.
Never heard that song.
I don't mind the Spice Girls, but not at that time in the morning. That was a big hit for them over there in the UK. So, yeah, sure. Another case of Spice Girl racism, man. Man coming down on the Spice Girl fans.
Yo!
Kevin, I think we've established the story. I got another story to do here. One more story before we get to the end of my time.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I got another story before we before I run out of time.
That's annoying.
It's not at all. It's just I'm trying to. I got one more story to get to.
7 days a week.
Don't you mess with a Spice Girl because you're going to mess with me.
Word. You know what Ann Coulter wants? You know Ann Coulter.
Far-right firebomber.
Hateable, shrewish, blonde commentator.
Yes.
For the conservative movement.
Bitch got no class.
Can't possibly believe half the stuff she says, that one.
Yeah, you can believe this one. You know what she wants? What she really, really wants?
What?
She wants a white pilot to fly her plane for her.
What?
Ann Coulter, this morning, refused to board a commercial airliner, a flight from Miami to New York City, because she found out the pilot was a woman of African-American descent.
That is not possible.
She refused to board the American Airlines flight. She got up there, she got in the flight, took her first class seat, and then on a trip to the bathroom noticed the pilot was a black woman.
No, this sounds like a story somebody made up to make Ann Coulter look bad. I don't even believe this.
She stood up in front of the cabin and said, "A black woman flying a plane? You know she's got that job through affirmative action. Am I the only one worried about this? I mean, hello, our lives are at stake here."
That's not possible.
I will tell you, I saw that movie Flight, and I have some concerns about our African-American brothers being behind the wheel.
He saved it, dude.
I know, but he also, you know, was flying drunk and high. That's not what I want.
It's on! Race war!
Dave
race war's on, everybody!
Dave's,
it's going down! It's going down!
Dave
race war! Come on! Race war!
Dave sent me this story. I think he may need to source it.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
As JK!
I don't buy
JK.
It.
JK!
JK, he's
JK.
Really? Just kidding.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's his way of covering up for the fact that he found out that it's a spoof.
Ah.
Yeah.
Dave, not my fault. Then,
Dave, why don't you come in here? Why don't you come on in here in the studio, Dave?
Yeah, please do.
Why don't you come in here?
Don't give spoof stories to Ralph for showbiz.
Dave, not my fault.
Dave, come on in. Come on in, grab a headphone, and get on the microphone, Dave. Let's clear this up right now.
Thank you, Ralph, for doing this. This needs to be done.
As I'm reading this out loud, it seems to me, Dave, that this could be some sort of Onion-esque type story.
It is. It's from the Daily Current, which, listen, Twitter's been down all day today. So when you see something this juicy,
you think it can't be true. That's what we said when he read it.
I don't even know who this chick is. So I asked Ralph.
He did ask me, who's Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
He did ask me that.
Okay.
I thought it was
unbelievable.
It's a great story about her not getting on a plane.
That didn't strike you as sensationalistic and crazy? Even for her? I don't know. I don't know this chick. So
did you source the material at all before you handed it to me?
I did.
Said,
as you started reading it, I went, I should probably check out the source. And then...
Is that just before you yelled,
JK? That's as I was, you know. So, hey, hit the dump button, Kevin. Maybe this will never get the air.
Sorry, it doesn't work that way.
Damn it!
Hit the dump button over at the producer's desk. And see if there's a trap door that opens up underneath the desk.
That would help.
Well, yeah, look, it's my bad, too. I should read things Dave hands me before I get on the air.
Always, because he's effing shaking.
Yeah, any breaking news from Dave, I should probably... I should read it.
Thanks, Twitter.
I get on. So, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave, for
embarrassing.
Like Ralph can't bring in incorrect information on his own. Like, he needs your help.
He doesn't need help with that.
Bad enough. I don't need somebody sabotaging me.
Sabotage.
Oh man, such a good day. Then that had to happen.
Yeah.
Not my fault.
Just go with it.
I'm not going to just go with it.
All right, we believe it.
Dave's celebrity birthdays. I wonder if any of these people had their birthdays today.
I guess not. Or are they even real people?
I have no idea. Mini Driver, like that's a real name.
That was my nickname in college.
Was it really? So the girls would point and go, oh, it's a Mini Driver. She's 43. Portia de Rossi is 40 years old. Kerry Washington from Scandal and Django Unchained is 36. A lot of babes today. A lot of babes today. Where's the bell for Kerry Washington?
That's right.
All right. Jessica Walter from Rusted Development and Archer is 72. Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band is 62. Marcus Mumford turns 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I about had an ass full of beer mug today, man. We gotta do something.
He is on fire today.
That's the name of my autobiography.
Ass full of beer mug.
Ass full of beer mug.
And it has nothing to do with Johnny. It's literally about Kevin's collection of beer mugs.
Kevin said to him earlier, have you ever noticed that anytime anyone asks something of you, it's that there's less of it? Like less of whatever it is
that's true.
Is what the world was.
99% less of you. Less of you. We ask for that all the time. You're so massive now with all your food eating.
Not attention skills.
What? Huh?
What?
Okay, less of whatever it is you're doing now, then.
Unbelievable.
Talking?
Really?
Less talking
he brings the show to a halt. He also brings real life to a halt.
Stop it.
He's the human pause button.
I've had an ass full of it.
I'm out of patience.
I can't take it anymore.
All right. It's
this is Friday, right?
Nope. One more tomorrow. We'll do this
quarter to 10. Mercifully, make this show end, Ralph, with one more showbiz beat.
Jiminy Cricket. A lot of people complaining this morning we haven't spent enough attention to Ron Jeremy. Ron, of course, the legendary porn star, is facing some severe health problems. He is in Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
went in on Tuesday complaining of chest pains. Doctors discovered he had an aneurysm right near his heart. He is currently resting comfortably after two surgeries yesterday.
Two surgeries the same day? That seems bad.
That is bad. Two heart surgeries at the same time is not a good thing. He is resting comfortably, they say, but still in critical condition. So we know Ron. He's been on the show, and he's a he's a smart, funny, nice
super nice guy.
Super nice. You know, his profession notwithstanding, he's a smart, funny dude who's always been very kind to us. So he's been to our shows. He always comes out to April Foolishness and other stuff, and we wish him the best, of course. So get well soon, Hedgehog.
And I think Mr. Jeremy gave a lot of, you know, fat, ugly people hope that they too could get laid, which I think was a real, he provided a real service for the rest of
us. You know, when Ron started in the business, he was neither fat nor ugly. He was sort of a good-looking guy with the mustache. He had the traditional porn star look. He was in pretty good shape. He was obviously well-equipped for his job.
Yes, certainly.
Can I object?
Have you ever seen his early work?
No, I have not, apparently.
Well, he looked okay. And then, of course, you know, like the rest of us, he discovered Entenmann's. But all kidding aside, we hope he's well.
Absolutely.
And I also hope he's an organ donor. Because I would like to
You'd like dibs?
I'd like to get on the list for the transplants in case anything goes wrong.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up indeed?
Little her.
Who knows a thing or two about organs? She was in court yesterday in front of Judge Stephanie Sautner. This is the same judge who told her to get her act together last time she had a probation hearing. Well, that didn't take. She appeared in front of her, and the first thing out of her mouth, which you got to love, Steph. We got to get her on the staff over here. She's very funny.
The judge.
Yeah. Lindsay, of course, almost didn't appear because her lawyer said she was too sick to travel until photos of her smoking and shopping were released online the same day. Her lawyer said that she was suffering from a respiratory infection. The first thing the judge said to her was, "I'm glad to see you're feeling better." Regarding her ability to appear in court. Looks like her trial...
That judge is at an ass full of Lindsay.
Yes.
She is tired of her.
Her trial is set for March 18th. That's when things will kickstart, so we'll get to follow all the fun when that happens. Cannot wait. This bothers me a little bit. I guess it shouldn't, but it does. You know, of course, Super Bowl coming up. A lot of people trying to put their ads in the Super Bowl. One company will not be able to air their ad. This is going to make Lisa very upset.
Uh-oh.
Take the sharp objects away from
is
Lisa.
Something on Broadway?
No. It's SodaStream.
SodaStream. Oh, I love my SodaStream.
I know you do.
I do.
Where else can you get that diet ginger ale? SodaStream.
Diet ginger ale sounds like air.
Yummy.
SodaStream had a commercial set for the Super Bowl that had been accepted by CBS until they found out that the commercial took shots at Pepsi and Coke.
Oh.
Then suddenly CBS said, we really don't have room for your commercial
anymore.
Are they
sponsors or something?
Pepsi is sponsoring the halftime show with Beyoncé.
Oh.
Okay. And Coke is it's a pretty big advertiser on
I'm
the
sure
network.
Just
in general.
Yeah, plenty of money throughout the year from Coca-Cola, absolutely.
And Pepsi as well. So,
see the one that was rejected for the Super Bowl from Pornhub?
Pornhub?
Pornhub had a commercial that was denied.
They wouldn't air the Pornhub commercial?
Just,
I'm shocked.
Two 95-year-old, a man and a woman sitting on a bench, and they just look over at each other with a little knowing glance, and they both smile, and it just says Pornhub.
See, that's tasteful.
Nope.
Oh,
cannot air.
You can't put the word porn in a commercial during Super Bowl. People's heads would explode.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. So no... no SodaStream commercial.
Well, that
but
is
apparently it is available online. You can take it. You can look at it. It's now surfaced, so you can take a look at it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, it's a business decision. I understand it. But at the same time, it kind of gives me a bit of a ugh feeling. Because you don't want huge corporations to be able to push small mom-and-pop businesses out of the way when it comes to even advertising their stuff.
Yep.
And I like the SodaStream. I got one at home, too.
Ha! See?
It was a gift.
It
was
easy.
A gift. It was a gift, and I said, "Oh, I laughed." I said, "Lisa May sells these things on our show." And then I popped it in, and I did. I was like, "Hell's bells! This stuff works."
It's not good for New York.
No.
It's not good for America.
No,
and it's
isn't.
Not good for the entire world.
It's really not.
And so, CBS, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, CBS.
Shame on you, indeed. Heard you guys talking to the former governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger, regarding that nude photo of him back when he was in his prime engaging in as yet an undisclosed sex act.
Yeah, I don't feel like we narrowed in on that much.
And we did talk about porn websites, and youporn.com is one of those.
They have already made the first offer to buy the photo from Jeremy Frommer, who purchased those storage lockers containing the left-behind belongings of deceased penthouse founder Bob Guccione. They said, we will buy the picture. We don't need to see it. Sight unseen. Whatever you got there, we'll take it. $150,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
But for something like that, maybe not.
Update to the story. Frommer said yes, apparently.
Oh.
Sent the pictures over, cashed the check, and they opened up the envelope, and inside just said, go Ravens. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? What a burn.
It all comes full circle.
What a burn.
JK! JK!
If there's people who don't understand what that means,
it's a callback reference.
It's a Craigslist hoax reference. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Marcus Mumford of Mumford and Sons is 26 years old today. Justin Timberlake turns 32. Kerry Washington from Scandal and Django Unchained is 36. By the way, Scandal co-star Josh Molina was on KTLA Morning News this morning.
Oh.
I want to give a shout-out to Josh. He was there to promote Scandal and spent the better part of his interview time with Sam Rubin talking about the Joe Schmo Show.
Really?
So, awesome. Thank you very much, Josh. Portia de Rossi, 40 years old today. Minnie Driver is 43. Anthony LaPaglia celebrates his 54th birthday from Without a Trace. Johnny Lydon, perhaps better known as Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols. He's 57 years old today. Harry Wayne Casey of KC and the Sunshine Band.
Well, I thought that might lead into something.
There's a lot of silence there at the end of that. I left a big open one.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know what? Just turn it off. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. It doesn't have any impact with that kind of timing.
Maybe more queuing that up and less all the BS you're doing.
No, you like you. I pay a lot of attention.
To see him jump when he realizes 30 seconds after Ralph started talking that he needs something.
Casey is 62 years old today. It's just, this whole show.
I'm out. I wouldn't listen.
I may not be in tomorrow. Maybe Shibby's beat with Larry Morgan tomorrow morning. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch Shibby's beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow is Friday. That means we have the movie beat. We also have Rob Corddry in studio, one of our favorite.
Oh, he's the best.
Fantastic. Actors, writer, director. He's what's the name? Warm Bodies. We did a commercial for today's show where I said the wrong movie.
Oh, you did.
Correct me. Cousin Sal is in New Orleans. He'll tell you how to make some money on the Super Bowl. We have LaQuisha tomorrow morning, the worst Super Bowl bets you ever made, and James Purefoy, I believe is how you say his name, who plays Joe Carroll on the following.
Scary. That's
very scary.
Very dude.
We're having a serial killer on tomorrow. Shouldn't we source that? That seems dangerous.
I don't JK. Know. JK. Publicize. Tomorrow morning.
Play the clip.
On an all-new Kevin.